be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome and good morning to everyone who's joining us in person, and welcome to all who are joining us online. It is good that we are together, and together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in each other. This is the second Sunday in Lent. We continue our journey in these 40 days of renewal in the waters of our baptism. So may we begin with the words in our bulletin. Return to the Lord your God.
For God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Please stand if you are able, knowing that you are not able. The church stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God. We hear the words of Jesus. No one enters the kingdom without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is Spirit.
Amen.
When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were united to Christ, joined to Christ through the Holy Spirit in the promise of the waters of baptism. We are washed in God's mercy and love. Let us give thanks for the gift of God in baptism.
The Spirit moved over the waters of the deep, calling into life that which was not. The Spirit moved over waters to carry the ark to safety. The Spirit moved over the waters and led your people Israel from slavery to freedom.
The Spirit moved in the wilderness, providing waters for your people to drink.
The wind blows where it chooses. We hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it goes.
So it is with everyone who is born of the water and the Spirit.
Praise to you for your saving waters. Praise you for the Spirit who gives life.
Pour out your Holy Spirit. Wash away our sins in this cleansing water. Clothe the baptized with Christ. By your Spirit, adopt us all as your children, and through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Jesus on your cross.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our leader and guide, in the waters of baptism, you bring us to new birth, to live as your children.
Strengthen our faith in your promises, that by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Now I invite the children to come forward for a brief children's message. How's everyone today?
Good.
Good. Did you have much snow up north? Any snow up north?
Yeah.
A little bit?
You know, it's stuck.
It's stuck, yeah.
I didn't think it would.
Yeah. Well, you know, this weather and our texts have something in common this morning. And our text this morning talks about the wind. Whoosh. Now, can you guys see the wind? No, can you see the wind? But can you see where the wind has been?
Yes, like the trees moving.
Yeah, you can see the trees moving. What else do you see? Maybe the trees fall down, the grass moving. You see the leaves get blown. So, is it safe to say we know where the wind has been?
Yeah, you can also feel it.
You can also feel it, even though you can't see it. And we are told that the Spirit of God is like the wind. And did you know that spirit, this word spirit and the word wind in that Greek language is the same word? It means the same kind of thing, that the spirit, the wind. And so can we see the Spirit of God? No, but perhaps we can know where the Spirit's been. How about we know where the Spirit's been? By the effects of the Spirit, right? So let's try a little, and if I do this really good, you're not going to be able to tell. Now, I want you to tell me, what do you think I'm exhaling? Can you guess?
Carbon dioxide.
No, when I'm doing it, actually. Raise your hand when you think that I'm actually exhaling. You understand? Okay, so let's try it right now. So raise your hand when you think I'm doing it. You don't know, do you? All right, now let's try it. Raise your hand. Adults, you can play along too if you want. So I'm going to be totally still. You won't ever tell. Okay, how did you know?
Blew the candle.
The candle went out. And so our text today, Jesus is saying, pay attention to the things around us, because the Spirit is moving around us and pushing us and asking us to love our neighbor. And when we see the signs in the world of these candles going out, we know that's where the Spirit is. So let us pray. On the count of three, we'll bring our hands. 1, 2, 3. Dear God, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for sending the Spirit.
Thank you for sending the Spirit.
May we see with eyes of faith.
May we see with eyes of faith.
Amen.
Amen.
My desert, excuse the Sunday school.
first reading is from the 12th chapter of Genesis. Hear now the word. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 121. It's on page 4 of your bulletin. If you'll please read with me. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep.
Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth forevermore.
The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 4. Hear now the word. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who works, who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The first seminary I went to in Philadelphia was Westminster Theological Seminary. I know you're thinking of automatically, that sounds like a Presbyterian name, and that's because it was. And I'm in an ecumenical mood this morning. I mean, I'm always in an ecumenical mood. But one of the professors there, the founding professor there at Westminster Theological Seminary, was a man by the name of Dr. Cornelius Van Til. And he would speak spoke of this giant turnpike in the sky. And a turnpike for us on the West Coast means a freeway. It's not free on the East Coast. That's why they call it a turnpike. You get to pay a toll to get on this turnpike. What we're talking about here is a freeway. So if you would imagine with me a giant freeway in the sky. This giant coastal freeway connecting all of our big cities. It's the massive freeway of the future. 100 feet up, no traffic, 22 lanes. Think of the views up there. It has a covered dome to keep everything nice and heated. And the boot in that covered dome is CO2 capturing devices. So this freeway system of the future is totally green. So picture this. This turnpike, this freeway in the sky. There is, of course, only one problem. We haven't figured it out. How do I get my car onto it? This is way up there. There's no on-ramps. There's no crane, the crane, can I say that right? Crane that can lift your car and put it there. You can't fly up there. You're kind of stuck down here while this perfect freeway is in the sky. And so we might ask, how is it possible to get my car up there? And that, my friends, is the question Nicodemus has. Because you can't put your car in this turnpike in the sky. And Nicodemus can't figure out how he can somehow be born again. And though this phrase, born again and born anew or from above, there's a play on words here. And Nicodemus clearly misunderstands the play, but he gets the point. What Jesus is asking here is impossible. We cannot of ourselves be born again. We cannot of ourselves be born from above. We can't in ourselves figure out how to get my car on this turnpike in the sky. The point of Nicodemus's confusion is the point we must understand. What's being offered here is impossible to us. And it's that impossibility that we must understand. Because it's not that it's really difficult. We think somehow our theological debates between the different churches are how easy or how difficult this climb might be. Maybe it's a really, really difficult climb and your particular church teaches a difficult way of doing it. But perhaps our church teaches an easy way of it. It's nice and easy. The point here, though, is it's not a difficult elevator, not a difficult ladder to climb, nor is it an easy elevator ride to get into and go up. The question here is not whether it's easy or hard, but that it's impossible. Nicodemus understands this correctly. How can this be? And Jesus responds. Jesus' response is essentially in of ourselves, it is not possible. We do not take the first step toward God, but God always takes the first step towards us. This is not our work. This is God's work. That work belongs to God. In Scripture, God is the God who calls life from nothing. God who sends the Spirit to give us faith. God who calls and gathers and sends the people together. And in our text today, it is God who descends from heaven in Jesus to come to us. I'm not too sure what that is. Hold on, let me see if I can. I don't think it's me. Yeah. Don't think it's me.
It's a flicker. It sounds like a flicker.
Yeah. We will keep an eye on it. Where am I now? God who calls us to be. It is God who calls. And that is the whole point of Jesus here. The Spirit and the water call us. And clearly he's talking about our baptism here. I wonder if that was me.
No, anyways. No, I heard it laugh. It's affiliated. It's so cool.
Okay. we'll deal with that later this week. But clearly the text is speaking about our baptism. And this is the tie between these two notes. We are dealing with these two counter notes. The impossibility of ourselves to climb to heaven and God's mighty act of coming down for us. And they meet in these waters of baptism, in these waters of faith, when we hear this promise that this is God for you. And this is the mystery that we have. That God is already present in the world around us. I think my mic completely went off that time. God is already here, right? Amongst us and with us and in these waters around us, and yet God is also specially comes to be with us in moments to connect. But it's always in this physical world, this physicality of bread and wine and water and oil and the arms of each other, of the love around us and the face of a stranger, in the face in need on the corner, there is God in the Spirit moving. It's always in this physical encounter that we see God, that we learn of faith. God is all around us. And so some of the mystery of this text this morning that Nicodemus is wrestling with is where amidst all of this around us can we actually see God. And we're given a few hints in our text. First is, of course, that always, God is always where God promises to be. And God has promised to be specifically in the sacraments of the church. You can know when we approach the water or the table that this is the promise that God is here for you. In the sacraments, we remember and recall the life, death, and sacrifice of Christ. This didn't just happen yesterday. It happened yesterday, but its effects are for us today. That this is Christ's presence now for you. We know this to be true because God has said so. And then also we have another additional key. And that is what I spoke of in our children's sermon today. We can see where their spirit is by the effects of the Spirit. The Spirit blows where it wills, when it wills. All we have to do is watch, listen, pray, observe, and see where the Spirit is moving. The Spirit is always here, always moving. We are invited to discover ways to connect with that Spirit and be the life and love of God for the world. And so I do have a quick surfing metaphor for you. You go out there beyond the break and you're in the water, and what you're looking for is that rising wave to form, that swell to form up into what could be a surfable wave. So you're always out there paddling around, constantly looking and watching and waiting for this wave to come, putting yourself in a good position to catch that wave. And when that wave, which is pure grace of God to create waves in our world, when that wave comes and you can experience it, you can ride it, you can do things, it moves you, propels you forward. I think that's what Jesus is telling us today in this text too, is if we watch and wait and listen to where the Spirit is moving around us, we can position ourselves ways to be propelled forward into the future with ministry and love for our neighbor. And we can encounter that in ourselves to always know that God is present for you and with you and moving us forward to be the love and light of the world out into the world. Amen.
Thank you.
Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. O God, you so love your church. Raise up leaders who care for your people. Bless lay theologians, seminary and college professors, and all who are called to the ministry of teaching, that they form and inspire us for the work of the gospel. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God, you so love your creation. Breathe new life into our planetary home. Guide the work of researchers, scientists, and activists who love your Earth and who inspire us to care for the natural world. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God, you so love the world. Uphold leaders who resist tyranny and oppression. Strengthen organizations that promote peace and harmony. Direct their work to alleviate human suffering and to address its root causes. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God, you so love your people. Draw near to all who live with mental illness, depression, or addiction, and accompany them in healing and recovery. Hear the cries of those who look to you in their distress, especially Leif, Aaron, Reg, Mariah, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Jim, Kelly, Joe, Clifford, Jim, Nicole, Madeline, Ara, Kevin, Barry, Sandy, Rhonda, victims of the war in Ukraine and of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and the fire at Furlong Lutheran Church. Receive our prayer. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God, you so love your children. Bless the young in our midst and delight us with their joy, wonder, and curiosity. Receive our ministries with children and youth and equip us all for faithful discipleship. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God, you so love your saints. As our ancestors in the faith have been a blessing to us, so inspire us by their example of holy living to be a blessing to those who come after us. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.
We are trying to stand in solidarity with our sister church, Furlong, which was burned down earlier this week. We have a card at the table. We'd like to invite everyone to sign as a show of support. And we have a prayer shawl we'll be sending them. And so we're going to bless this shawl together. I ask you now, if you would, to extend your hands out here. We'll say a blessing to our fellow church. Dear gracious and merciful God, we ask that you be with the members of Furlong Lutheran Church, and that this shawl be a sign of our love and support, and may having it and seeing it, that they remember that you are with them, community is with them, that will be there when they need us. In the name of your precious Son, amen.
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 The peace of Christ be with you all.
Also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. Can we now stand as we prepare for the meal? Creating the heavens and the earth, Praise to you for saving earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. Gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life, and we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us, and all these gifts of bread and wine, bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us by the breaking of bread. Raise up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice and peace and love. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. This is the table of God with the gifts of God for the people of God. In a moment, we will ask the usher to have you come into a single file and approach the altar. We ask you to come with your hands folded, and the element will be placed in your hand. And then you'll come to the wine and grape juice, and we'll ask that you take which element you best want. This is God's gift. This is an open communion table. All are welcome to come. If you wish to come and just receive a blessing, come with your arms crossed. But please know that your place is here, and all are welcome to come forward. Amen.
Thank you.
yet sung our Lord's Prayer. So gather together in one with the Holy Spirit. Let us rise our voices and pray as the Lord taught us. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep us in grace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Embodied God, at your table we have tasted the goodness of Jesus. With the eyes of our hearts open to your promise, empower us to hear the needs of our neighbors and touch the world with your love.
Amen. Amen.
Now we'd like to open the floor up for some announcements, and starting us off, Susan has a special announcement for us.
Please don't leave after service. Immediately following the service, we'll have a question and answer session with Pastor John, and 2 weeks from today, we will be asking each of you to stay and vote at a special congregational meeting on the question of whether we're going to keep Pastor. So thank you.
Are there any more? We'd like to extend a warm invitation to everyone this Wednesday. We had a great time last Wednesday at 6, starting at 6 with our soup and bread, and then a very spirit-filled holding evening prayer at 7. I invite you all to do that this week. We'd like to make soup. I think there are some spaces for soup cookers. With that being said, let us prepare our hearts now to receive the benediction. May God, the giver of love, Christ, the resurrection and the life, and the Holy Spirit of rebirth, bless you in this Lenten journey.
Amen.
Thank you.
the executive committee met on Zoom with Pastor John, and we were charmed. And on August 21st, he took over helping us out and was planning on being here to assist Pastor Jane when she came back, but unfortunately we lost her in December. And he was here to help us with that. He's continued to be here. We reconstituted the call committee, and the call committee met with him and interviewed him and talked to his references and continued to feel very impressed and very much that Pastor John is the right person to guide us in the future. So the call committee recommended to council, and the council voted positively to approve and to recommend to all of you that we keep Pastor John as our pastor on a permanent basis. So we'll have a special congregational meeting in 2 weeks to vote on this question. And meantime, Pastor John is here, and his wife Jen is also here. She's moved down from Washington, and they're here to answer questions that you might have about their faith journey and their time here at Atonement.
Yeah, probably. Is it a question for me or for Susan?
Well, at the special congregational meeting in 2 weeks, will we have a potluck?
Sort of.
Sort of.
That's the important question. So we'll have two things going on the 19th. The Synod, well, actually, will be here. Synod staff, we're making a presentation after service about reparations. And as some of us know, there was a recent amendment to a directive given out at the last General Assembly asking congregations that have land that when they sell that land or they close a church that they consider donating some of that proceeds to whatever the indigenous community that the land was on. But it's not really about the money. It's about building relationship. It's about the work of healing. And so they will be here next Sunday the 19th. They'll be here on the 19th, already scheduled to be here on the 19th to make a presentation about that. And I know reparations can be kind of like a touchstone topic, but I want you to, again, think about reparations as what it's really about, which is healing and wholeness, not just about money. And so I think the gist of their conversation will be about hopefully building community connections with our indigenous tribal members. So in preparation for that, the parish wife is going to have a small lunch prepared for us downstairs. So after the vote, we'll mosey downstairs, have a sandwich bar, I believe.
Stay tuned.
Okay, I won't say too much. There'll be food, so it won't be a potluck, but there will be some food to celebrate that. And then have that conversation with our synod about hope and healing.
So, as Pastor said, we'll stay in the pews like we are today following service. We will call it to order. Juan Carlos is supposed to be here for us.
Okay, we'll try. Anyway, Juan Carlos or another representative from the synod needs to verify the vote, so they will be here to watch us. We'll just stay in the sanctuary, conduct our business, the vote will be taken, and it will be a paper vote. So there, it will take a little bit of time because the first one, when we vote on Pastor John, whether we want to call him, will need to be counted, and it will need to be a positive vote. And then following that, you will have to also vote on accepting the compensation package that he is being offered. So I would assume it's going to be a 10 to 15 minute meeting, and then we'll adjourn to go downstairs for our food and the presentation from the Synod.
Are we ready for questions? Hey, I noticed today in your sermon, you really got into the surfing part.
Yeah.
Are we first or second choice as church because of that?
the members, what's that? Those who
As you're familiar with the call process, every site fills out a multiple site profile, a ministry site profile known as an MSP, and the candidates fill out an RSP, a roster, RM, whatever. I'm off it today, so hey. Anyways, a roster minister profile, RMP. I've had done mine, obviously, before I knew anything about Atonement Lutheran Church. But, and you can ask the people at the call committee, and they'll tell you that in my RMP, I talk specifically about wanting to be in a coastal community. So I think that might answer your question.
So you're here for the beach.
Honestly, that's important.
No,
it's and not, that's never going away.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just the beach, but I think there's a connection to water that is so important to us. Water is healing. Water as the ability to draw people here for a unique experience. I think I have some long-term like dreams and aspirations of what Atonement might be as a gift and a ministry to the wider church. I'm very influenced by a book called The Blue Mind, and there's a lot of work that's being done around the healing power of water. And so they're taking soldiers with tremendous post-traumatic stress disorder, and they're teaching them to surf. And they're teaching them, and somehow in that learning to surf is a healing that is occurring. It's not just the water, but water has an amazing power to heal. And I wonder what it would be like to have a church community right next to a huge body of water and be able to give that as a gift to other people, other parts of the church. And so I think you're uniquely gifted, and part of that gift is sharing that gift. So I think it really excites me to be in a community, not just because I personally want to go surf, but because it can also offer a ministry of hope and healing to the world.
Yes. Several of us consider ourselves sons of the beach, so welcome to the crowd. More to your follow-up to your comment about that, can you give your impression and perspective about what roles, especially non-traditional roles, that a congregation can play in the church, including but not limited to worship? Congregational roles.
Congregational roles. I'm not sure I'm following the question.
Well, you alluded to building a healing environment. Is there some place in that specific environment that we don't rely totally on your pastoral efforts that the congregation might contribute?
Oh, well, I think if I'm understanding the question.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I think I understand it. I'm trying to figure out how to formulate it. So I think in general, the church is this group of all of us together. It's not about me doing the ministry of the church, me alone. It's about us doing the ministry. And then I think that's what we call it, mutual ministry, because we're all mutually doing the ministry and trying to support each and every one of us. And there's a lot of ministries that this church does, which I'm not part of. I might help here and there, I might sit on the board, but we're all doing ministry. And the question is, again, how do we tie in all this ministry we do together? That's your specific question. I have been observing this community and just dreaming about what such a retreat place would look like. And so, yes, I already see, well, this person has a little, I might be able to pull them for this task or that task or this task. But these are, all, of course, long-term goals. But and the short-term goals are just finding ways where we can all just reach out into the community with the love and grace of God.
So I'd like you to give the microphone to your wife and let her introduce herself and tell us a little bit about herself.
I'm Jennifer.
We can't hear you.
Real loud.
Okay.
Perfect.
There we go. Okay. I'm Jennifer, known as Jen, just because it's easier. what spoke to me. And for a long time, nothing did, just because of negativity and anger at people the religions had. And I was like, you know, the denomination. I was like, no, that's not God, you know. And then I met my husband, and we started talking about religion and what it is to be a Lutheran, and it spoke to me. It made sense to have a beautiful religion that, or denomination that just was positive and wanting to help, and just, you know, it was beautiful. And so I'm just truly honored to be here.
So how many kids?
We have three beautiful children, which I attribute to Bang, because they all came to me at once. And that's when Jacob, our oldest, and then Molly is our middle, and Owen. And so, and they're all out of the house now, so we're kind of doing the empty nest syndrome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and there one's in the Coast Guard, masseuse, and another one going to be a teacher. So we're very, very excited about them moving forward into the adult world. So.
Do you have any hobbies or interests that we might share with you?
Is there something we could do with you?
Oh boy. Music. I love music. And so one of the things I like to find a good venue or a good band that really sings to my soul. And so that's something that I would like to do, is I would like to find the venues that are good and uplifting. Like in Seattle, it's in Seattle. There is a tavern, it's called the Tractor Tavern. But it's beautiful. It's all wood. It's very personal, but very clean, and just, and to go and listen to